Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, thank you so very much. And this is a special privilege for me because he and I go back, I don't think he'll forget this, we go back over a quarter of a century because we've been doing Deborah Hart and Lung Center Presents since Deborah Hart Lung Center Presents was a television program for decades and became a radio program more than 25 years ago. And I had the privilege of hosting the TV show and the radio show. And Dr. C, whenever we could get him, we wanted Dr. C because he was watchable, he is listenable, and I believe he's the best at what he does that I've ever known. And I've had the occasion, because he gave me his time, to go through all of his areas of responsibility, and they are immense, and he is just fantastic at it. Let me just brag about him for a moment, tell you a little bit about our distinguished guest this half hour. His name is Dr. Rafael Corbusiero, affectionately known by many, including me, as Dr. C. He is a very talented electrophysiologist. He is board certified in clinical cardiac electrophysiology. Dr. Corbusiero earned his medical degree from New York Medical College. After medical school, he completed his residency in internal medicine, fellowship training in both cardiology and interventional cardiology at Westchester Medical Center in Valhalla, New York. He went to complete his fellowship in clinical cardiac electrophysiology at Bay State Medical Center in Springfield, Massachusetts. Dr. Corbusiero's special interests include device therapy, pacemakers, defibrillators, resynchronization therapy, heart failure therapy, and complex ablation. He has participated in many clinical research projects and authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed medical journals. And by title, he holds important titles at Deborah Hart and Lung Center. He is the chairman of and division director of the Department of Electrophysiology and Pacing. And we have such an important topic this half hour on Deborah Hart Lung Center Presents, understanding atrial fibrillation. If you sit back and take a listen, you'll learn a whole lot about this coming up with Dr. C, who joins us now. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Harry. I'm well.
Good to hear you. And this is, I wasn't just waxing poetically, this is a very important topic. What is atrial fibrillation? And then I'll give you a follow-up right off the bat. You can cover both. What causes it?
So atrial fibrillation, we're talking about the rhythm of the heart. And the rhythm of the heart usually is a two-beat process. If you talk to people and ask them, if you listen to the heart, it sounds like a ba-bump, ba-bump, two beats. The top beat followed by the bottom beat. What atrial fibrillation is a problem with the top part of the heart. So instead of getting a normal squeeze causing a beat in the top part of the heart, the top part becomes electrically disorganized. And instead of beating, it just quivers. So there, instead of having a dominant one electrical signal causing the top part to squeeze, now you have 400 or 500 chaotic signals that make the top part just quiver. And that causes some problems for the patient because, number one, they're not in normal rhythm. Number two, the bottom part is now bombarded by all the electrical signals, so their heart rate, which is really felt from the bottom part of the heart, the bottom part becomes very irregular in its response. Sometimes it's fast, sometimes it's slow, but it's very irregular and all over the place, and the patient feels like their heart is flip-flopping. So that can make a heart not function well, can also make a patient not feel well, all the way from feeling the flip-flops, palpitations, all the way to the heart not working well, and they have chest discomfort, they can't breathe, they can even pass out. And then on top of this, the fact that the top part of the heart is no longer beating normally puts the patient at risk for clot formation because the top part is no longer squeezing all the blood out down to the bottom. So some blood hangs out in the top part of the heart in certain areas, and it's prone to form a clot. And if it forms a clot and that clot breaks off, the patient's at risk for stroke. So this is a very serious problem.
Wow. Boy, oh boy. What causes it?
So it it turns out that we're all at risk for it. The one factor that we can't do anything about is it occurs more frequently as we get older. The actual causation of this rhythm problem comes from the anatomy of our heart. There are some abnormal electrical impulses that are in the sleeves of the lung veins as they come to the heart. As we get older, those impulses sometimes become more active. They're triggered by certain things that we'll talk about. But if those signals get out into the body of the heart, they can throw off the normal electrical system and cause the whole top part of the heart to go into fibrillation.
You mentioned something. You mentioned the fluttering. You mentioned the flip-flopping sensation. And you mentioned the word palpitations. Palpitations. Are heart palpitations a serious occurrence, Dr. C?
Well, a palpitation is a symptom that a patient may feel, funny heartbeats. Everybody has skipped beats, if you look at them. But not every skipped beat is a problem. So the complaint of palpitations does need to be worked up, but not all palpitations are serious. Not all palpitations mean that the patient is having atrial fibrillation.
Important to know. You're listening to Dr. C on today's topic on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, Understanding Atrial Fibrillation. By the way, if you go about your life and you're a certain age and everything's been great, you're active when you were young, maybe even athletic, and as you got older, whatever, and is it the event of getting older that introduces atrial fibrillation, or does something happen physiology-wise or something that all of a sudden something you didn't have, you suddenly have? How does that work?
Well, getting older does increase the risk of atrial fibrillation. So we start to see atrial fibrillation really around the age of 40 for most of us, very slightly. But as we get older, the incidence increases. So as we hit 70, 80 years of age, you can see this a fair amount of time, 10, 20% or more. There are factors that may bring this out, not just age. Is it possible just from age, otherwise healthy, and have AFib? Yes. But factors that play into it, the most common which are the risk factors of obesity, hypertension, diabetes, things like that. We always focus on our one thing, but really everything is all interconnected.
Dr. C continues on today's important discussion, Understanding Atrial Fibrillation on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. So we're learning about what it is. We're learning about what causes it from you, Dr. C. What are the symptoms of AFib?
So the symptoms of AFib can vary quite a bit. Now, I've described it. Atrial fibrillation is not necessarily a life-threatening rhythm problem because it's coming from the top part of the heart. So the symptoms can vary quite a bit. Some people will have AFib and not even know it.
I'm going to clear your mic just for a second, just in case you have to look at that or maybe even have to take it. I just want to give you a moment to not be distracted. And it does give me an opportunity to share with our listeners that when you hear these amazing guests that we present on a monthly basis, we always tell you, and you usually tell me, oh my gosh, I felt like Dr. C or whatever the discipline we're speaking about that month, I felt like he was talking or she was talking to me. And this is a program that we can proudly state over more than 25 years that we've been doing it, both radio and television, that this has saved lives. There's no question about it because the people have told us that their doctor told them at DeBoer Heart and Lung Center that you got here just in time or whatever the occasion might be, or that you do have something that we need to take care of. So if you're ever experiencing the things that we're talking about or things that you know, don't discount and say, I'm just getting older, so this is just the way that it is. You know your body best. If you feel something isn't right, you go up one flight of steps and you're short of breath, or just something you know isn't right, give Deborah Heart and Lung Center a call. And the simplest way to do it is just go to demanddeborah.org and you can make an appointment right from the website. So we'll continue with our discussion. We only take one break during our Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents program. We'll take it right now. If you have a question on the topic, we will certainly take your calls, and there are calls standing by right now. But keep it on the topic of atrial fibrillation, please, as we continue our discussion with Dr. C in just a few minutes. Stay with us. I am yours truly.
Hurley in the Morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5, and on the WPG Talk Radio app.
This is you, your retirement. GrowWealthSafely.com.
Listen for the morning edition of the O'Reilly Update with Bill O'Reilly at 10:15 this morning. Now, Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Ladies and gentlemen, the program is blessed this morning. He's a very modest man, but he's very accomplished. Dr. Rafael Corbusiero, MD, cardiac electrophysiologist, chairman and division director of the Department of Electrophysiology, actually Division of Electrophysiology and Pacing at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And the topic this half hour is understanding atrial fibrillation. And when I tell you one of the absolute finest in the country is putting on a clinic right now, and you get it for free. 609-407-1450, an open phone line. And we do have a question from a guest listener on the topic of atrial fibrillation. Dr. C's mic is on. Hey, caller, you're on the air. Say good morning to Dr. C, and he's here to take your question.
Good morning, Mr. Hurley. Good morning, doctor. It's a pleasure talking to you. I am 71 years old. I had my first atrial fib attack, 1980. They did not know what it was until a couple years later, and I became caffeine and alcohol free. I've been on Rhythmol and Coreg for 25 years. My atrial fibrillation had dissipated to the point where I hardly have an episode. However, I've noticed this last year the PVCs are hitting me, especially at night, and I believe I'm getting atrial flutter. And I did have a stress test a month ago. I hit 85% of my heartbeat. My maximum was about 128 beats. So the doctor said I have no blockages, and all I have is the PVCs. But I understand it has to be in the 100,000 range before it becomes dangerous in the 24-hour period. But I'm wondering, as I get older, is this going to get worse, these PVCs and the palpitations, especially at night?
So, it's hard to predict which course, you know, you're going to take with these PVCs. They may arise from something that's going on that would need to be investigated. The fact that they bother you is enough to warrant looking into doing something about them. You have to remember that this is occurring to you while you're on rhythm medication. So the question, right, with the rhythm medication that you're on, there's always a question of, is it doing a good job at suppressing some things, but is it bringing about other things? That's the things that we worry about. It's very unusual that a rhythm drug will work for more than 5 years, much less 25 years. So, you know, from my standpoint, again, from my viewpoint, this warrants a little bit of a workup because now the PVCs are bothering you. I don't need a certain number to take care of a patient if they're bothering them, okay? So your symptoms are more important than the actual number that you're having. So this warrants looking into.
Okay. Yeah, sure. They're going to put me on a monitor pretty soon for about a week. But I never get out of breath. I ride my bike 12 miles a day. I do ellipticals, you know, and the doctor's real happy with everything. But is the PVCs at night, is that from getting older?
It can happen. You know, there's other things that might play a factor into it, like I said, between the medications and whatnot. But there are areas in the heart that give rise to the PVCs. And sometimes they become active for reasons that we can figure out, but sometimes they just become active for reasons we can't figure out. So, again, if they are bothering you, then we should look into it. If they're not bothering you or you can tolerate them, then you can stay as is. Yeah.
Yes, sir. The VA in Ellesmere Delaware has taken very good care of me. Their cardiologists are very good, and I have complete faith in them. And thank you, sir, for your opinion. And I will look into that right away.
Thank you for your service. Let me end with that. We appreciate that so much. And if you didn't hear the news, we had a breaking news announcement this morning with Congressman Van Drew that a brand new veterans clinic, and I don't want to take up Dr. C's time, but when I tell you it will, space-wise, it will be three times larger than what is there now. It will be built right next to the existing site. It will open the summer of 2023. And when I tell you it will be more than three times bigger, that's just the physical space. The services that are going to be provided, if you go to WPGTalkRadio.com, it is the lead article right now on the top of our website. Click on that. And to the gentleman caller and all of our veterans, it's going to be amazing. You're not going to have to go to the Delaware VA anymore. That's the whole point. You're going to do that right here at home. So it's big news, and it fits right in with Dr. C's program. 609-407-1415, open phone line. Your question on atrial fibrillation for Dr. C. Caller, you're on the air. Go.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
I am to have had a AFib operation, and I just want to say anyone who's feeling like they're having palpitations or any problems like that, DeBoer is the place to go. I went there. My sisters went there. They did a fabulous job. My sister had open heart surgery, had a pacemaker put in. Me, I'm fortunate. I just had to have an AFib operation. I go there every 6 months and get checked out. And the services are absolutely fantastic. And I would recommend them. I recommend them to everybody I know who's thinking about anything to do with their heart. I just want to thank him and thank the organization because I never received a bill beyond my insurance, which is a phenomenal thing to have from a hospital.
Yeah, a world-class one at that. Al, thank you for the call. We have so much content that I want to move on, but I know that's not hard for Dr. C's ears to hear a nice compliment like that. And I remind our listeners, very simple, just go demanddeborah.org, easiest way to do it. You will see the hyperlink directly to how to make an appointment. It's very, very simple. If you prefer to call, and you'll be prompted as soon by the auto attendant, as soon as you dial 609-293-2992. Deborah Heart and Lung Center is at 200 Trenton Road, Browns Mills, New Jersey. I make the trip several times a year, just the nature of our relationship, where I'm meeting with different people, find people from the organization. It's a very pleasant trip. And I have such confidence in what they do in all the different areas, including sleep diagnostic, in terms of everything, diet, everything, the nutritionist work, so much good stuff. Dr. C, that was a nice compliment, wasn't it?
Yes. I do want to point out that he had an AFib ablation. The ablation is a procedure. It's not an operation. So it's not an operation as people would think. It's the ablation is a procedure. It's a very low risk procedure, so it's not surgery. So I just want to point out, make sure that everybody understood that.
A layperson thinks surgery, and you specifically accurately describe it for which it is, and that is a procedure. Dr. C, what happens within the heart during AFib? What goes on?
So the biggest thing is, right, the top part of the heart is completely disorganized and not beating normally. It's just quivering. And those electrical signals are then driving the bottom part of the heart crazy so that the heart is very irregular. And so the heart may not function as well. The pumping action, what the bottom part squeezes out to the body may be affected. There may be extra leakiness in the valves. It's a disorganized, inefficient way for the heart to work.
Dr. C, I'm not sure we talked about what the symptoms are. Did we talk about risk factors? Let me ask you specifically in a separate question and focus. Yeah. What are the risk factors?
So, again, the one that we've talked about is age, which not much you can do about. The risk factors, outside influences, from outside the heart that can influence AFib, we've just been through a pandemic. So COVID and other types of pneumonias can sometimes cause AFib. People with sleep apnea, sometimes that will trigger AFib. Mm. Patients with thyroid disease, an overactive thyroid, may cause AFib. So those are the outside influences. We see, you know, because DeBoer Heart and Lung Center is such a busy, you know, place with open heart surgery afterwards, there's a high incidence of AFib, as high as 20-25%. So there are some outside influences that can trigger AFib. And like through the pandemic, if someone came in with a pneumonia and had AFib, we would treat the pneumonia, obviously, and then, you know, take care of the AFib, but not consider full AFib treatment for that patient.
Got it.
In other patients, you know, like I said, as we get older, the risk of AFib can occur, as well as the big things are obesity, diabetes, and hypertension. So it is can be affected by your lifestyle.
I know earlier when you talked, you mentioned about clots and things like that. So this is going to sound like it's a repeat question, but I think it deserves to be a standalone question on your show today, Dr. C. Mm-hmm. How might AFib increase the chance of stroke and heart failure?
So the when you have AFib, right, it's an inefficient contraction. So not all the blood that's in the top part of the heart is being squeezed out. It turns out that there is a spot in the top part of the heart called an appendage, which is nothing more than a pouch. It really serves no purpose, and I tell everybody, when you think appendage, think appendix. It's something that you have. You don't really need it, but it's there to cause a problem, right, when something arises. So blood may actually accumulate in that pouch and coagulate and form a clot. If that clot forms and breaks, the heart may pump it out, and then the worst place that it could go is to the brain, and you're at risk for stroke. Mm. The risk of untreated AFib and having stroke starts at around 5% and increases with the more risk factors that you have.
I've never heard this before, this pouch, and if I did, I don't remember it. Are there people that get the pouch like surgically or procedurally dealt with where they don't have the pouch anymore?
Yeah, the reason that I mentioned that, right, because AFib, what I'm trying to tell everyone, AFib, there are anatomical issues with AFib. Now, with this pouch, the reason I bring it up is the traditional way of protecting someone is to give them a blood thinner. So we give them blood thinners to protect from stroke. However, we have to remember, right, these are older patients, there may be other risk factors, so there's also the risk of bleeding. Right?
Yep.
So if they have a risk of stroke and a risk of bleeding, we're trying to, you know, be on the razor's edge by giving you a blood thinner and hope you don't bleed.
So the blood thinner doesn't correct, the pouch is still there and the blood can collect in the pouch, but the blood thinner keeps the blood from clotting.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It brings down the risk from 5% to, let's say, 1%.
Wow.
But the reason I bring it up anatomically because, instead of just using blood thinners, we now have a device that's called an appendage occlusion device where we can go in, same approach, not surgery, same approach as the ablation procedure when we treat AFib. We can go in and basically place what looks like an umbrellaed stent within that pouch.
Wow.
Open it up, and we can seal off the pouch. And if it heals well and the pouch is adequately sealed, then the patient is protected from stroke without having to take a blood thinner.
Oh, that's big.
So the risk of bleeding goes away.
Wow.
So we've been doing that for a couple of years here at DeBoer. That right now is called a Watchman procedure, but there are other devices coming out to do that. So that is a big advance over the last couple of years.
What are the other types of treatments and medications available for someone who has AFib?
So the medications when we start out with they start out simple. You can take simple medications to try to control the heart rate, but it doesn't prevent the AFib. Then, as our caller mentioned, you can be on special types of medications like he was on Rivmol, which is a rhythm drug, which is meant to suppress the AFib. But the treatment of choice is not a medication. The treatment of choice, if you have this, is really the ablation procedure where we go into the heart via a procedure, not surgery, and a catheter is able to cauterize these abnormal electrical signals that come from the location that we mentioned before around the lung veins, the pulmonary veins that enter the heart. That, if done in the right patient at the right time, can be as effective as 80% of the time, whereas just using medications may work 50, 60% of the time.
We have time to take one more call, and I want to give Dr. C a moment to have a closing comment as well. We're quickly running out of time, approaching 33 minutes past the hour with Deborah Heart Lung Center's Dr. C, chairman and the division director of electrophysiology and pacing at Deborah Heart Lung Center. Terrific man. You are on the air with Dr. C. Your question about AFib. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. C. How are you? I've had AFib for maybe 5 years. I take Coumadin. I have had a valve replacement. Now, my doctor told me that I have he said a blood clot, but it's not really a blood clot. He said it's like a cloud on my heart, and it's still there. They've tried to do an ablation, but they can't. They did a TEA and saw the cloud of blood, so they couldn't do an ablation. They can't do anything. How do I get rid of it? Is it in a pouch?
So I've heard stories like this before. The image, you know, honestly, would have to look at the image in person, because there are things, it doesn't make sense that a clot would stay present for any length of time if it's appropriately treated.
Sure.
So there's other things that it might be. So you might need a closer look at it with, like at my place, I have some experts who do the echo. I have experts who look at it with a CAT scan. It doesn't make sense that something would be there and not go away for any length of time. So that really needs to be, that needs to be looked at.
I'm going to give you Dr. C's, I'll give you the main number if you would like to call, and DeBoer does this all the time, second opinion, whatever you want to call it. You can either, if you use your smartphone or laptop or desktop, whatever, iPad, you can go to demanddebora.org and you can make an appointment. Or you can call 609-293-2992, and you know where to find me. If for some reason you didn't have time to write that down or you don't remember, call me anytime that you're ready, and I'll give you that number. So I would follow up. Thank you so much for your call. I want to give Dr. C a moment. We're really out of time, but if he'll stretch for a minute or so for us, I'm going to meld a couple of questions into one. Is AFib reversible, and can a person with atrial fibrillation live a full, long life? Closing comments.
Fibrillation, once you have it, is your diagnosis. So I tell people it's like diabetes or hypertension. That's your diagnosis. But it is very treatable. And the goal is to let us treat you with it so that you can have a long, active life. That is our goal, and that can clearly be done.
Dr. C, you're awesome. Let's keep in touch, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Harry. Have a good morning.
You too, sir. He is Dr. Rafael Corbisiero, and that was a clinic on understanding atrial fibrillation. This is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and this is what we do on a monthly basis.